to be in the house of the Lord. Yes, very good. So glad to hear that. And we are here because we have a risen Savior. No reason for us to be here if we do not have a risen Savior. Did you realize that? We have a risen Savior, and this Savior dwells in our hearts. And we are here worshiping because we are looking forward to that great day when we will be seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face. And when we shall see Him, the Lord, Word of God says what? We shall be like Him. What a great and glorious day that will be. And welcome back to those who have traveled, to our sister Ruba. So good to see you. Yes, praise the Lord for bringing you back safely. And welcome back to all those who have traveled. I might miss you in the crowd here. Now the topic this morning is seem to be genuine. Now we are to be genuine. Yes, and not only genuine, but must be seen to be genuine. And I like to speak from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6 this morning. And I'd like us to look at verse 1. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. I read for you this verse, verse 1. Paul says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Not in vain. Yes, Paul, remember, brought the gospel to, along with Silas and Timothy to the city of Thessalonica. And Paul says, my bringing the gospel to you is not in vain. In other words, it was not a failure. It was a success, not a failure. Now, often people fail in the service to the Lord because, possibly because of three things. You know what are the three things? Women, money, and power. Yes. They get involved in a scandalous affair with a woman, and then the affair is exposed, and that's the end of the service. They could be pastors, could be elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, fellowship leaders. My dear friends, if they are guilty and found guilty, that will be the end of the service. Or they might miss appropriate funds from the church treasury. And when they are found out, they are in serious trouble. They could be in serious trouble with the law. Their service, of course, will be gone. Or they could be power men. And so often we see this in churches, don't we? Yes, we see people who want to be the decision maker. Not just one of the decision makers, but the decision maker. They want to be seen to be the driving force in the church. And then they love to lord over other people. Friends, what kind of service are they offering to the Lord? No service at all. They want to be served instead of serving other people. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? He says, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Yes, we are to serve and not to be served. But friends, the service of the great Apostle Paul with Silas and Timothy was very, very different from those who failed in their service. Yes, Paul, as he puts it, Paul's service, as he put it, was not in vain. It was not in vain, not a failure. Why? Because Paul and his fellow workers, Silas and Timothy, were genuine ministers of the true gospel. That is why. Genuine ministers, not false ministers, genuine ministers of the gospel. Now in this passage, we find that Paul is actually defending himself, or he was defending himself. Now normally Paul would not defend himself. Now if there was any personal attack level at him, he could take the attack. He would not defend himself if the gospel was not heard in any way. Take, for example, the situation he was in when he wrote this letter to the folks in the city of Philippi. He was in prison then. Then there were people who were preaching the gospel for what purpose? To add affliction to the bonds of the Apostle Paul. He was in prison, suffering, and people wanted to add affliction to his suffering. Paul didn't mind. He didn't quite care, right? He didn't care to defend himself. And so he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, I read for you, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. I'm sorry, I got to wait for those who are interpreting, the person next door interpreting, to refer to this text. I read that again, Eugene. Philippians 1, 15 to 18. Alright, Philippians 1, 15 to 18. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They preach to cause Paul to suffer even more. But the other of love, genuine preachers, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, it doesn't matter. I rejoice because the gospel is preached. The gospel is not heard in any way. But here, writing to the Thessalonians, he had to defend himself because the truth of the gospel was at stake. You see, if Paul did not defend himself, and if his enemies were successful in deceiving the people at Thessalonica into thinking that Paul was a false preacher, then what would be his message be regarded as? Now, logically speaking, would be this. The preacher is false, therefore his message must be false. So don't listen to him. You see, in that situation, Paul defended himself. And Paul's argument that he was a genuine preacher of the gospel was actually based on what the Thessalonians had already known about him. Not that they didn't know anything about him. They knew this about some facts about the great apostle Paul. First of all, they knew about his boldness in preaching the gospel. That is my first point this morning. They knew about his boldness in preaching the gospel. My second point is, they knew about his motivation in preaching the gospel. And my third point is, they knew about his transparent method in preaching the gospel. My first point, his boldness in preaching the gospel. Look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Paul says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, not a failure. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Paul, before coming to Thessalonica with his missionary partners, Silas and Timothy, were in the city of Philippi. And Paul and Silas were brutally beaten, brutally persecuted, and then they were thrown into maximum security imprisonment. They were treated like criminals of the worst kind, and they were terribly, terribly insulted, shamefully entreated. That's what it means, shamefully insulted. But God very miraculously delivered Paul and Silas, and then finally they left the city of Philippi. Now, having experienced that terrible and painful experience, now if you were Paul and Silas, what would you do? Would you be encouraged to go on? Would you say, Lord, enough is enough, I'm going to give up. It's so painful to preach the gospel. Now, I think chances are we're chicken out. Chances are, we say, it's so painful. How can we go on preaching the gospel like this? But friends, nothing was going to stop the Apostle Paul from preaching the gospel. And so, with great boldness, he, Silas, and Timothy came to the city of Thessalonica to preach the gospel there. Now then, at Thessalonica, he didn't have an easy time either. He had a terrible time also. And so he says in his own words, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, the second part, he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Which means that when they went into the city of Thessalonica to preach, they met with great contention. They met with very, very fierce opposition. And indeed, they did meet with fierce opposition. Now that boldness in preaching the gospel was a very, very clear indication that they were genuine preachers of the gospel. They were so brave because they were genuine preachers of the gospel. And more importantly, by being bold in preaching the gospel, they were telling the whole world that the gospel that I believe in is absolutely true. That is why I am as bold as I am. You see, my dear friends. And their boldness was no secret, as we said. Their boldness was known to the folks at Thessalonica. So, the Thessalonians should know that they were indeed genuine preachers of the gospel. Genuine. So genuine, that is why they were so bold. So I ask you and I ask myself, how bold are we in sharing the gospel of truth with others? Now our boldness in sharing the gospel with others is a clear indication that we are true believers in the Lord. We are not afraid to be laughed at. We are not afraid to be ridiculed. Not afraid to be persecuted. And we understand and believe this truth spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in His Beatitude. He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. That is why we are bold in preaching the gospel. Citizens of heaven. And we are bold in preaching the gospel because we know that the Lord is very, very pleased with us in preaching the gospel, and He will grant us with peace and with joy. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we also understand that to suffer for Him is to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we are so bold in preaching the gospel, and we should be bold in preaching the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, all right, Eugene, you're there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. I read, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Yes, we aim to be bold in preaching the gospel, because we want to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our boldness not only shows that we are genuine witnesses, but more importantly, our boldness shows that the gospel that we believe in is absolutely true. That is why we are as bold as we are. A young man entered into the army, and he faced the real test of his faith the first night when he was at camp, before he went to bed. And he had formed the habit of doing his quiet time before going to bed. And he would do this at home. He would put his Bible on his bed, and then he would kneel beside his bed, and then he would do his quiet time in that manner. And that night, the first night at camp, of course, the camp was very, very boisterous. All the boys were all laughing, joking, swearing, cursing, using all kinds of words. And this young man said, maybe tonight, I think I should be wise enough not to do my quiet time. I'll do my quiet time at another time when these people don't see me doing it and they don't see me reading the Bible. Maybe I should do it at another time. But then he thought it over. He said, but I'm a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must give my testimony. I must show what I truly believe in. I will be bold and not hide my true colors. And so what did he do? He put on his pajamas, put his Bible on the bed in his barrack, knelt beside his bed, and then he did his quiet time. And strangely enough, his barrack mates quieted down. And when he had finished his quiet time, again they became very boisterous. Now the next night, what do you think this young man did? Of course he did his quiet time again, put his Bible on the bed, knelt beside his bed and did his quiet time. And this time, 8 of his campmates pulled out their Bibles and read their Bibles also that night. So in time, this young man became a great influence to his campmates. What a great testimony this young man had shown for the Lord. he showed that he was a genuine believer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more importantly, he showed that the gospel that he believed in is absolutely true. That is why he behaved the way he did. That was why he was so willing to do his quiet time, and that was why he was not afraid to do it. Friends, how bold are we in sharing the gospel with others? Remember, our boldness shows that we are true believers in the Lord. And not only that, it shows that the gospel that we believe in is true. That is why we are so bold. Now next, let's look at the motivation of the Apostle Paul in bringing the gospel to the Thessalonians. Look at his motivation. And his motivation shows that he was indeed a genuine preacher of the gospel. Now let's remember that his motivation was actually known to the folks at Thessalonica. So when he wrote them, he was actually reminding them what they had known about him in regards to his motivation. Verse 3 and verse 4. For our exhortation was not of deceit, Paul said, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. No, Paul and his fellow workers were no fly-by-night itinerant charlatans. No, they preached with pure motives and not with impure motives. People who preach with impure motives are people who are deceitful, and in those days there was lots of these people, itinerant preachers. They preached with impure motives, and they would use trickery to deceive and to trick people who were hearing them into parting with their money. For what purpose? Of course, to line their pocket. That's the why they preach with such deceit, to deceive people. Now, are there such kinds of preachers today? Are there? Yes, of course there are. And let's be very, very careful about such people. And these will be people with great charisma. Yes, there will be people who are very, very eloquent, and then there will be people who claim that they are able to perform signs and wonders. They will claim that they are able to exorcise demons, and they will claim that they are able to perform faith healing. Now, my question to you is, would you ever be deceived? Yes, no. You say, no, I'll never be deceived because I know the Word of God well, and so I will never be deceived. Now, if you know the Word of God well, and if you are not going to be deceived, I congratulate you. But friends, don't be too sure. I tell you this, don't be too sure. I've seen people, very, very smart guys, intelligent people, and they are very, very sincere people, and they have been deceived. I've seen such people. So don't ever say that, well, I'll never be deceived. The surest defense that we have, my dear friends, is to study the Word of God. When we know God's Word well, we will not be deceived. And if we have the knowledge of the Word of God, my dear friends, we will be able to discern tricksters when we see them. Yes? So we must study the Word of God. Now, Paul and company were genuine preachers of the gospel. You see, their motivation in bringing the gospel to the Thessalonians was so that they could be faithful to their Lord. That was the reason. Yes, they wanted to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why they brought the gospel to the Thessalonians. Look at verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For our exhortation was not of deceit, Paul says, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. What did they see themselves as? What did Paul, Silas, and Timothy see themselves as? My dear friends, they saw themselves as stewards of the gospel. Men who were allowed by God or approved by God to be put in trust with the gospel. They saw themselves as stewards. And what is the most important quality of a steward? What do you think is the most important quality? Faithfulness, of course. That is the most important quality. And they saw themselves as stewards of the gospel. Now you will recall the parable on the talents told by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was this master who wanted to go on a long journey over a long period of time. And before he went, he called his three servants and gave them talents to trade with. To the first servant, he gave 5 talents. And to the second servant, he gave 2 talents. And to the third servant, he gave 1 talent. And all of them were supposed to make use of the talents, to trade with the talents, to gain additional talents. The Lord, after the long journey over a long period of time, came back, and the day of reckoning took place. The first servant gave an account of what he did with his 5 talents. He said, I gained for you an additional 5 talents. The Lord commended him and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So the second servant, who traded with his 2 talents and gained an additional 2 talents, he said the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the third servant went to hide his talent. He didn't do anything with it. He hid his talent, and the Lord condemned him for what? For his lack of faithfulness. He was condemned because of his unfaithfulness. And the result of which was, he was thrown into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. My dear friends, Paul and company knew what the Lord wanted from them. What was it that the Lord wanted from them? What was it? Faithfulness. That was what the Lord wanted for them. They were entrusted with the gospel, and Paul was very, very constrained to preach the gospel. He saw it as an absolute necessity that he should be preaching the gospel. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, that precisely was what he said. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Absolutely necessary for me to preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so, no amount of opposition, no matter how great the persecution was, nothing was going to stop the Apostle Paul from preaching the gospel. And his main motive in preaching the gospel was to be what? Main motive. To be faithful to his master. Yes. Wang Mingtao was recognized as the fundamentalist preacher of the gospel in China. He served as the leader of the Christian Tabernacle until the year 1955, during which year he was arrested by the communist government because he refused to join hands or cooperate with the Three Self Church, which is a state-governed church. Yes, and it was a state-controlled church, and Wang Mingtao refused to join that church. And so he was arrested. And in the same year, in the month of August, his wife and 18 members of his church were arrested by the communist government. But soon after Wang Mingtao was arrested, he recanted. One day he signed a confession and he recanted. And because he recanted, he was allowed to leave prison. But after he left prison, after he was released, he realized that he did the wrong thing. He was so guilt-stricken. He felt as if he was Peter, who had denied the Lord 3 times. And so he went back to the communist government and he recanted his recantation. Yes, and that's what he did. And as a result of which, he was put into prison and he was jailed for another 22 years. And he was released in the year 1980. Now, after his release, what did he do? He became very active as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked secretly with the underground church in China until the day of his death. Now, what do you think this great saint of the Lord would regard as the most important thing in his life when he looked back into his life? What do you think would be the most important thing to him? What do you think? Faithfulness. That was what was most important to him. And our missionary, Reverend Pang Kok Hiong, found that out, actually. Reverend Pang, as you know, is our missionary to Saipan, or was a missionary to Saipan, sent up from our Pandan Church, our mother church. And for years he was ministering in Saipan, and he also ministered many, many times to the mainland Chinese in China. There were Chinese who came to Saipan to work, and he ministered to them. And he made frequent trips into China. In one of the trips into China, he actually met this great saint, Wang Mingtao. And so he asked him, "What advice do you have for us young preachers?" And Wang Mingtao said this to him, "Be faithful." Yes, be faithful. And friends, as stewards of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important quality that we must have is faithfulness. Paul entered into the Thessalonians to preach the gospel. Why? Because he wanted to be faithful. He wanted to be faithful to his master. He wanted to be a faithful steward of the gospel, which he had been entrusted with. Verse 4 says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Every minute of the day, the great apostle Paul, I'm sure, must have been very, very conscious of his need to be faithful. He saw himself as being allowed by God. In other words, approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. He was approved by God, entrusted by God. In other words, he was trusted by God. Trusted by God to preach the gospel. Not trusted by anyone else. Trusted by the all-knowing God. The all-powerful God who loved him and gave his only begotten Son to die for him on the cross of Calvary. Did not God know his motives? Of course he knew. The all-knowing God, he knew his motives. And besides, this God was also trying the heart of the Apostle Paul to see whether or not he was faithful or not. Paul said it. You look at verse 4 again. The last part, okay? "Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." So he knew that God knew his motives. He also knew that God was trying his heart all the time. So how could he not be faithful, my dear friends? He had to be faithful. Friends, let's be conscious of this truth. This all-knowing God, this all-powerful God, sees us. He knows everything about us. Does he not know our motives? Of course he knows our motives. Yes, and he has entrusted the gospel to us. He has entrusted us to be his witnesses. My dear friends, if we are conscious of this truth, we will surely be very, very diligent in examining ourselves all the time to see whether or not we are faithful to him. If we are very conscious of the fact that he knows our motives and is testing our heart all the time, we would want to be faithful to him. We want to examine ourselves to be sure that we are faithful to him. Are we genuine believers in the Lord? Are we? If we are, we must realize that we have been entrusted with the gospel. We might not be called to be preachers. We might not be called to be pastors. We might not be called to be missionaries. But for sure, my dear friends, all of us who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have been called to be witnesses for him. How faithful, my dear friends, have we been witnessing for him? How faithful have we been sharing the gospel with others? My dear friends, if we are genuine believers, we will aim to be faithful witnesses for the Lord. Are we genuine believers? Do we have this aim to be faithful witnesses for the Lord? If we are genuine believers, my dear friends, that must be our aim. Be faithful witnesses for the Lord. Next, let's look at the transparent method by which Paul preached the gospel. That's my third point. Now, his transparent method was evidence that he was indeed a genuine preacher of the gospel. Look at verses 5 and 6. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, not a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul was not one who used flattery in his preaching. He would call a spade a spade. Now, dear friends, I would not be transparent in preaching the gospel to you if I do not call a spade a spade. If I flatter you, I will actually be lying to you, and that would be a terrible sin. I would be flattering you if, let's say, if you are living in sin and I say you are all right. Isn't it true? I'll be flattering you if you are worldly and I say that you are all right, you are not worldly. And I will be flattering you if I say that your unregenerate hearts are all right, when I know for a fact that an unregenerate heart is one that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I'll be flattering you and telling you wicked lies if you are going to hell and I tell you that you are going to heaven. Yes, that will be the worst kind of flattery. No, a genuine preacher must not use flattery. He must speak the truth. When a person speaks flattery, what does he usually want of you? If he flatters you, usually he has a hidden agenda. Usually he wants something from you. That's why he flatters you. And sometimes we see flattery being made use of, even by professed Christians, to take advantage of others. There was this church, a good church, yes, a wealthy but very, very good church, one that is very missions-minded. It was helping a missions outreach, a missions organization. And this missions organization, needless to say, was quite poor. It was located in a third world country. Now, the missions organization evidently needed help. So what it did was, it produced a video which was to be shown to this congregation in the wealthy church. And so the video was shown. Now, I happened to be there. I saw that video. Now, what was quite disappointing about that video was that the content of it sounded as if that missions organization was trying to flatter the rich church. Personally, I could not help but feel that the flattery was absolutely unnecessary. It was completely out of place. Christians should not do that. And frankly, I suspected that the flattery was in that video because the missions organization wanted more help from this church. That's why it was trying to flatter the church. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, we must avoid flattery. We must be very transparent in our dealings and not have a hidden agenda to take advantage of people to satisfy our own desires. Our speech must be what? Yeah, yeah, and nay, nay, and not yeah, nay, yeah, nay. Alright, it's yeah, yeah, and nay, nay. And Paul was not one who would wear a cloak to cover his covetousness. There was no need for him to wear a cloak to cover his covetousness. You know why? He had no covetousness. That's the reason. No cloak was needed. And he said, the Lord is my witness. You look at verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor the cloak of covetousness. God is witness. There was no need for him to wear a cloak of covetousness. Nothing to cover, because he was clear, transparent, no covetousness in him at all. Now, in dealing with the church at Corinth, another church, Paul chose not to be supported by the church at Corinth. You know why? Because there were people who were accusing him of being greedy. And so Paul refused to accept any help from the church at Corinth. Instead, he made use of his hands, worked as a tent maker to support himself. And he was doing the same thing with the folks at Thessalonica. Yes, apparently he was not receiving any help from them also. You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. Look at what he says here. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So he didn't care to burden them at all. He probably didn't receive any kind of monetary help from them. Now, in all our dealings, as genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must always be above board. We must handle God's money with care and with transparency to the best of our ability. Others dealing with us must see that we are not greedy and that we are, that our integrity is not suspect at all. And you young people, you better start young in your fellowship when you handle money in your fellowship. Make sure that you keep proper accounts of the money that you receive. Yes. Years ago, I had this experience. I remember helping this young people's group with some money because they wanted to organize a camp. And so I gave that money to them. I meant it as a gift. I gave it to them. So they organized the camp, held a camp. Then at the conclusion of the camp, the leader of the camp came up to me. He said, I think I was a deacon at that time. He said, Deacon Cole, this is the balance of the money that you gave to us. I wasn't expecting it. I was very, very surprised at the way this young man managed the fund that was that he had received. He was an honest young man. And he learned young. And what a great testimony he was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm very, very glad to say that this young man has grown up to be one of the great leaders in Singapore. And I'm sure he has gone into that position not just because he's very capable. Of course, he's very, very capable. He's very intelligent, very capable person. But I dare say that he has gone into that position because he is one who can be trusted. That's the reason. Paul surely was very above board in his ministry. He did not seek the glory of men. Look at verse 6. Nor of men sought be glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And he was also no man pleaser either. He was not one who went for popularity. My dear friends, we must check ourselves to see if we are really wanting to please the Lord or to please men in all that we do. Let us be genuine witnesses for the Lord, dear friends. Let us not only be genuine, but let us also be seen to be genuine as Paul and company were seen to be genuine preachers of the gospel by the folks at Thessalonica. And let us show our genuineness by being bold in witnessing for the Lord. When we are bold, we show that we are true witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, we show that the gospel that we believe in is genuine. It is true. That is why we are as bold as we are. And Paul's genuineness in being a preacher was also shown by his motivation to preach the gospel. And what was his motivation? My dear friends, his motivation was so that he could be faithful to his master who had entrusted him with the gospel. Friends, let's show our genuineness in being witnesses for the Lord by being faithful to the Lord in all that we do. And finally, Paul showed how genuine a minister he was by being above board in all his dealings. Likewise, friends, let us be above board in all our dealings. As true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, never let our integrity be doubted. Let us be very transparent in all our dealings. So friends, let's be genuine witnesses for the Lord. Number one, be bold. Yes, if we are true witnesses for the Lord, be bold. And let our motivation be that of wanting to be faithful to the Lord. And let us be sure that we are transparent in all our dealings. Amen. Let us pray.